There Jeremiah stands, watching his nation decay, but preaching the Word of God anyway, whether they hear or whether they don't.
This is Delivered to the Saints, where you hear the teaching of Dr. L. Russ Bush as he presents the truth of God's Word, Christian theology, and apologetics. I'm Josh Bush, and this week we have Dr. Bush's second chapel message from January of 1975. The man introducing Dr. Bush at the beginning of these early chapel messages is Dr. Robert Naylor, who was the president of Southwestern Seminary until 1977. So here's Dr. Bush's message from Jeremiah chapter 1.
Our preacher today is Russ Bush. He is a native of Mississippi, Columbia, Mississippi, graduate of Mississippi College. Russ's father is a dentist. He's a preaching layman down there in Mississippi. Russ himself, as I've indicated, a graduate of Mississippi College, a graduate of this seminary, instructor in philosophy of religion and biblical backgrounds. The dissertation for his doctorate is in hands other than his at this juncture. But I'm glad to welcome him as our preacher this morning with great appreciation.
A year ago, when I had opportunity to speak in the chapel here at Southwestern Seminary, I spoke out of a passage in the Gospel of John. And Dr. Ralph Smith, who's of our Old Testament department here, was speaking to me in the library not very long after that, telling me some things I wanted to hear about how good he thought I'd done and all that. And then he added, there's only one thing wrong with that message, and that is it came out of the wrong testament. So, ever since last year, I've been hoping that the Lord would give me an opportunity, or at least maybe the chapel committee would give me an opportunity and let me get into that Old Testament a little bit and preach from it. So the message that I have prepared this morning is entitled, To Whom the Word of the Lord Comes. And that title is taken from a portion of the text. It's going to be an exposition of the first 10 verses of the first chapter of Jeremiah. If you have your Bible, I would appreciate you to open it and follow along. I think it will be of profit to you to see what we're talking about. Jeremiah, the very first chapter. And as soon as you turn there, you will see in the second verse the words from which I have taken the title of the message. You will notice, however, that the way it reads in your Bible is a little different from the way I titled the sermon. I made the verb present, to whom the word of the Lord comes now. Whereas in verse 2 it says, to whom the word of the Lord came. The first three verses of Jeremiah really set the key and set the tone, or are the key and set the tone for his book. It tells us the situation in which he preached and the situation in which the word of God came to him. It reads like this, the words of Jeremiah the son of Hilkiah of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Hilkiah is Jeremiah's father. He is evidently a priest. And he's living in this little town, Anathoth. That's only just over the Mount of Olives and 3 or 4 miles away from Jerusalem. A little town. There's a little village that's near that spot today, probably not exactly on the spot, but a similar little village that's there today. Little gray stone houses, date trees around it. Very rustic, out in the country, and you can tell that from reading Jeremiah. He must have grown up in that kind of a situation. But it was within just an hour or so's walk of Jerusalem, and I'm sure Jeremiah had spent quite a bit of time in that city. Anathoth is the little town to which the priests were sent. After David had come to the end of his kingship, and there was the political dealings going on, trying to decide who was going to be the next king, there were some people, you know, who wanted one man and some who wanted another. And of course, the high priest was on the losing side. And when Solomon came in, like all of the kings, there was a house cleaning. But because of the high priest's position, being a holy man of God, he wasn't killed. He was just banished out to this little town. And there it became known as the priests who were at Anathoth. And this family of priests lived in this little town. It must have been a very religious community, perhaps more pure in their worship of God than many of the small towns of that type, even that close to Jerusalem. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, the king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And then it mentions the other kings. You're not going to be able to understand Jeremiah if you do not understand why he mentions these kings. Of course, he mentions it just to tell you who they were. But when you remember what happened to those kings and what happened during that period of time, it places Jeremiah's ministry in an altogether different setting from just to read the words without understanding. Do you remember Hezekiah? He was a great king. He was a godly king. And he had a great helper, a prophet named Isaiah. And during that time, God did many great things for that nation. But his son's name was Manasseh. And following the godly rule of Hezekiah, Manasseh brought Judah into probably its lowest depths. He was a wicked, idolatrous king. And I can't help but think that as the situation went down and down and down, that there were people who still loved God, who, when they had a child, named that child something that they thought might please God. And out of 2 Kings, I noticed there are two or three people that were named Jeremiah. Jeremiah means God hurls. And I think it refers to God sending a man against the downfall of that nation. So Jeremiah was born sometime during the years of Manasseh's reign. Probably Jeremiah's birth is around 650 or 640 maybe B.C. Following Manasseh, you have Ammon, who doesn't last very long because he begins to follow in the footsteps of his father and they get rid of him pretty quick. And Josiah is placed on the throne, only 8 years old. In the 8th year of Josiah's reign, it says he sought after the Lord. And in the 12th year of his reign, he began a reform movement. And interestingly enough, in the 13th year of his reign is when God calls Jeremiah to be a prophet. Just to carry it on, in the 18th year of Josiah's reign is when they were cleansing the temple and they found the book of the law. And it moved Josiah's heart when he read what God had written in that law. And he called the people to repentance. And he called the people to reestablish God's way in that land and in that temple. And I'm sure Jeremiah supported him. We would support anyone trying to bring our nation back to God. But I don't think it was very long before Jeremiah would have realized that the reforms were perhaps only superficial. They were reforms in ritual. They were reforms in calling the people back, and Josiah's motives, I think, were pure. But it never seemed to touch the depths of the hearts of those people. Josiah evidently had built himself up, thinking he was doing such a great work for God that he thought he could even stop the great Egyptian army as they came up the coast and were going to the great battle with Babylon. And he goes out to try to stop them, and of course, he is killed. There's a great mourning for him. Doesn't even mention it here, but following Josiah, there's a king named Jehoahaz. He only stayed on the throne for about 3 months, and Jeremiah doesn't even mention him. And then following him is the one that is mentioned, Jehoiakim, who is placed there by Egypt. Egypt has domination at that time. And the people are being led away again from God's way back to a pagan way. Well, Jehoiakim's reign also ends in disgrace as Babylon is coming in. They're beginning to get stronger. There is a king that follows him that is not mentioned, named Jehoiachin, but he only stayed on the throne for 3 months. And then you have Zedekiah, who was the last king, who was the king under which Babylon came and carried the people away into captivity. So Jeremiah stands there and preaches God's word as he watches his nation degenerate from a time of revival under Josiah to a time of captivity under Nebuchadnezzar. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not that you're a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send you, and whatsoever I command you, that's what you'll speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. When Isaiah saw the Lord, it was in a great vision. He was high and lifted up. He was in the temple. It was a great ecstatic experience. When Ezekiel had his call, he saw all sorts of unusual visions and wheels and all sorts of things like that. And when Jeremiah receives his call, it just seems to be a natural thing. It just seems to be ordinary, just a conversation, a dialogue between God and man. When God touched Isaiah's lips, it was for cleansing, because Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I wonder if the fact that Jeremiah speaks of himself as being a child might not explain some of that. When we get older, we have more uncleanness on our lips. And maybe when we get older, God has to do a little more to us to get us to hear him. But a child won't think it strange for God to speak to him. Samuel didn't think it was strange when he found out it was God speaking. He was willing to dialogue with him. Don't ever deprecate God speaking to a child. Matthew Henry heard God's call at 11. Jonathan Edwards heard God's call at 7. Now, I'll support you if you say we ought to teach the child and we ought to train him and we ought to bring him up and maybe be careful about baptizing him too early and all of that. I'll support you in that. But not if you say, Johnny, don't go down the aisle. God couldn't be speaking to you. When God speaks, let the child respond. Now, maybe Jeremiah wasn't a baby. This word child sometimes is used of a man like Joshua when he's 45 years old. So it could just mean a young man. But I think the context here would indicate that Jeremiah is not as old as that. He's a young child. He's not a pre-teenager, I don't think. But he's probably a young man. Isn't it wonderful that God will speak to a young man like that? And look what he says. I formed you. I knew you before you were born. What does that mean? How could you know someone before they even existed? Well, of course, you can say God would know. God knew ahead of time. And I think the word know here carries the idea God recognized what he was going to do with Jeremiah. God had knowledge of Jeremiah. He had a plan, and he had someone to meet that plan. And God was working everything, from his grandparents to his parents to the cultural situation. God was preparing someone to be his messenger. And he ordains him to be a prophet to the nations. And then Jeremiah says, but I can't speak. I'm a child. I'm weak. I don't have the ability to speak. Me, stand up and speak to the nation. You, stand up and call America to God. Do you feel capable to do that? Do you have the ability to do that? You stand before a great crowd. Don't be afraid of their faces. I'm going to be with you to deliver you. But I don't know what to say, Lord. How can I speak to the national government of the United States? I'm just down here somewhere. Who am I? I can't do anything like that. You'll say what I command you to say. You'll go to those that I send you to go to. If God calls you to do something, he's got something for you to do. These people who say, well, I'm finished my seminary and I can't find anything to do. I know somebody, I won't mention his name, a good friend of mine, who prepared himself, and he says that he believes God wants him to do some particular thing. And so he finishes his work, and he sits at home and he babysits because he can't get a place doing what he wants to do. He's been doing that for years. His wife's supporting him, waiting for him to get that place God's got for him. I don't understand that. I can't believe God called him and prepared him and then says, uh-uh, I'm not going to let you do it. Now, that doesn't mean that God's always going to open that door immediately for you. But God's not going to call you to something and then not give you a place to minister. It may be that if you can't find a place where you want it, it may be that's not where God's called you. You need to be going where he sends you. It may just be a little church out on a corner somewhere. That may be where he wants you. Are you willing to go there? This individual I'm speaking about is not willing to go to a place like that. He only wants a certain kind of a place. Well, I think God will let him sit there until he decides to go wherever God will open up a door for him. If God won't give you a church, go out and start one. Preach somewhere. Well, I need to close. Verses 9 and 10. The Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and he said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, this day I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. God put his words in Jeremiah's mouth. And then that next verse tells you what those words concerned, what they were to be, what his message was to be. And there are some images used here, actually only two. He was to root out. That means like take a plant and pull it out of the ground by the roots. And he is to pull down, talking about a building, pull these walls down, whatever. And to destroy, and the image there is, you pull the plant out of the ground, now you just don't replant it, you leave it there and it withers, it's destroyed, it dries up. And to throw down, to pulverize, you pull the walls down, now you pulverize them and tear them up. And then to build and to plant. The image of building and of planting. The image of rooting up and tearing down. The emphasis is on the rooting up and the tearing down. Jeremiah's message was to be a message of judgment. His nation was becoming pagan. God's nation becoming pagan. And Jeremiah had to go and speak to it, a word of judgment. And I think that any authentic word of the gospel must be preceded by a call to repentance. We sometimes preach the gospel before we get people thinking they need to be saved. But there is no place for just preaching repentance and just preaching judgment without the gospel. There is always a positive word from God. And here, to root out, pull down, destroy, and throw down, but to build and to plant. I see one other thing in that. To build and to plant. I can build while I'm here, and I can plant for a future harvest. And in your ministry, what would be God's purpose for you? You've got a ministry now. You can build now. But don't set your sights just on now. Build, yes, and plant for the future. You can grow your church, and you can grow it around you, and you can build it to be great, but you may not be planting something for the future. How many churches have you known of that build around the pastor, and then when the pastor's gone, the church falls apart because he built, but he didn't plant? So the message is a message of judgment and a message of hope. There Jeremiah stands, watching his nation decay, but preaching the word of God anyway, whether they hear or whether they don't. Jeremiah saw Nebuchadnezzar come in, destroy the temple, take the people away into captivity. Some of Jeremiah's friends got him and took him down to Egypt. And one of the Arabic historians tells us, I don't know whether it's true or not, but I read this and I was studying for the message, that down in Egypt, Jeremiah preached against the Egyptians and preached God's word to them, and that they stoned him for it. And that he died preaching the word of God. There he stands, watching his nation decay, but preaching God's word. May we pray, you and I, that God will speak to our nation, and if it's his will, through us. And may we also pray that when he speaks, that we will recognize his voice, lest we die with the blood of his messenger on our hands.
Our Heavenly Father, help us to pray, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Delivered to the Saints. In the next episode, we'll hear Dr. Bush teach from two chapters in Joshua, Joshua chapter 1 and Joshua chapter 24. I hope that you'll be listening.